Welcome to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang, the founder of Charisma. This podcast is to encourage you to experience the power of the Holy Spirit and to discuss spiritual issues facing the church, our nation, and the world.
There's a humanitarian crisis happening with the Ukraine, with the Russian invasion. We've been covering it the best we could. We have been getting great response, and we've been working with Dave Donaldson and his colleagues at CityServe, done several podcasts. You'll want to go on the Charisma Podcast Network or wherever you listen to podcasts and check out the Strang Report the last couple of weeks. I think you'll find it very interesting. And I want to find out more about the churches in Europe. I know that Christianity, what we would call evangelicalism, especially Pentecostals, are a fairly small minority in Europe, not real strong. A lot of them just kind of struggle to keep going. Yet there is a Pentecostal movement all over Europe. I've had the privilege of traveling and visiting churches, and I'm always impressed. It's usually much more difficult than what we see in the United States, where we've had it so easy so long. So why don't you just tell us about what's happening with the church, and especially, and this is the reason why we're doing the podcast, is how churches are responding in the different countries. Now, you're there in Warsaw, Poland, as you said in the previous podcast. You're getting the food across the border, behind enemy lines, if that's what they call it, to the people over there. But also, these churches are absorbing these refugees. They need a place to stay. So are they staying in the church building itself? Are people putting it in their home? What are you finding there in Poland?
Well, first of all, I want to make sure to introduce, in case you missed the other podcast, Carl Hagerstrand, International Director for CityServe. He is from Sweden. And then next to him is a close friend and somebody he has worked with for many years, Carl.
Yeah, this is Pelle. We say like the soccer player, but Per Hornmark in Swedish. Leading PEF, Pentecostal European Fellowship, the largest evangelical fellowship in Europe, I believe, representing 55 nations, also serving on the World Pentecostal Council.
So when you
Power 21.
So when you talk about these movements throughout Europe, you're looking at one of the leaders of these movements, and it's great to have Pelle. And then Todd Lamphere, who is the chief of staff for Paula White Ministries and City of Destiny. He's part of the CityServe International team as well, and the one coordinating the 1 million meals that were packed a few days ago in Apopka, Florida, near where you live, and are going to be arriving shortly, and that's going to go to some of the most severe need in the heart of Ukraine behind, in many cases, enemy lines. And so that's kind of setting the stage. I think your question would be good to go to Carl and Pelle to talk about what's happening throughout Europe.
And give us some stories. I realize that you've got to protect people's identities, but there's a church of 100 in a certain city, and the pastor's maybe bivocational and he quit his job to respond, or people are bringing their homes. You know, let's paint a picture for people, because we're not getting this in the secular news media, and there aren't that many Christian outlets, and especially ones that are talking to you guys about what's happening there. So these 55 countries, a lot of them aren't very close to the Ukraine. Some of them are. So what is exactly is happening? And, really, you're giving me facts to put into a news story to report to the body of Christ what's happening there in that part of the world right now.
I will give Pelle as most of the time here, but let me just again put out this idea that we saw even during, for us, farmer to family during the pandemic, the local church knowing its neighborhoods. What they have done here immediately is taking their churches that normally was used on Sundays, turn them into reprocessing centers for refugees, processing. In fact, they're gathering goods, processing them overnight, and then they're sending them into homes of believers, apartments, and or if they have a relative somewhere else in Europe. So they're spreading them across Europe, putting them on trains with train tickets, So they become almost the churches like reprocessing centers where they get to take a shower, cook a meal, a couple of nights of rest, and then send them on to a permanent house, most of them in believers. It's almost like you're sitting there. We were in one town, small church. The pulpit has turned into a reprocessing sorting center of goods donated. And then you have mattresses on the floor. Children are sleeping there. That's the auditorium. Then they're being washed and trained, and they're being put into a home. And believers, almost like you sense kind of this Second World War where people were fleeing for their life, they're getting into homes of Christian believers that is just saying, come and stay with us. Unbelievably powerful when you're sitting there. It's emotional, I think, when you see the response. They really share all they have and saying, how can we serve this people?
It's almost like responding like you would to your own family. If there was some kind of disaster and all the aunts and uncles and kids come over and they're sleeping on the floor, the sofa or whatever, you know, people do that when there's some kind of family crisis. And here we're the family of God, the body of Christ. It's just wonderful to hear these responses. And so it's mostly there in Poland where you are, or is it in other countries as well? Ukraine's a big country. It's surrounded by countries, including Russia. So, you know, tell us more what's happening. How many people are involved? How many churches? Dare I say, are there churches that say we don't want to be involved? Are you running into that? Or are people almost universally responding?
I think we could say that all churches are involved. There are mainly like maybe four or five countries that are involved in this when it comes to our churches. We have like 60 denominations all over Europe, but the strongest impact today is from Romania, where they are working, you know. The good thing with Romania is that there is still quite easy from Romania to come into Ukraine with food. So we are buying food, we are packing trucks, and we are driving through the border. There are receiving centers at the borders. There are even tents, which is raised and raised up inside Ukraine where they are receiving. Because what happens when people are fleeing is that they are saying like 700 cars were standing waiting at the border. It takes time for people to come. And yesterday we could see there are streams of thousands of people standing waiting. So doing something on the line. So there is something which is like an emergency situation. When we are at the border, we can see that there are many organizations who are clever in this. Because I can see at the same time as there are so much of this horror and so much evil thing, at the same time you can see so many good things of humanity. For example, yesterday there was one guy sitting playing piano that he brought from Italy. He brought his piano from Italy to the border between Ukraine and Poland, sitting and playing, you know, to try to do what he could do that people would feel a bit better. So I believe people are doing great. The big difference that I see with the church is that they are not only providing food, they are not only providing shelter, but they are also providing community. They will come into homes. They will not go to some center. We were yesterday to a shopping center, which they have changed to be full of beds everywhere. But of course, there is no fellowship. There is no community there. They are there, you know, by themselves with all the stories. What the church provides is homes, is warmness, is a place at the kitchen's table. And I'm so impressed. And all churches I have met, you know, they didn't start this because they got some money from abroad. They started to take out the chairs from the sanctuary, trying to put some blankets. They did what they could with their own means. The day before yesterday, we were in a city called Lublin, which is close to the border. When we were standing there, a boy came, you know, he was 12 years old, you know, he came with his toys under his arms because he wanted to carry them, to give it, you know, to the people, to the children who were living there at the center, who were living in that church. So I feel, you know, that they are not doing this because there is money. They are not doing this because someone else is doing something. That's why I believe, you know, it's so good for us and for CityServe to be involved in this, because they are not running into something where people will not do anything unless they get something. But when we give them something, we will help them, you know, to empower the church, to make them strong and to mean something. For example, Lublin, small church, maybe like 100, 150 members, renting a facility, a small place. Yesterday, we could see that the casino in the city moved out from a whole floor in an office building. And they said to this small church, if you want to take the whole casino. And now it became like a shelter for people. I'll still deliver it. 50 people, and we talk to people. Means that the small Pentecostal church gets some kind of identity in the society, what they are doing. And when we were standing there, a truck came, you know, full loaded of bottled waters given to the church, a church, small church that maybe didn't, people were aware that it existed. Suddenly, it makes sense. It's a power of the church. So there is something that happened when we're doing what Jesus called us to do, means that we get meaning in our society. So I love this, you know, and I like, you know, that is why I have been involved in that, because I'm quite busy doing my work in different ways, but connecting with CityServe, when I have this idea that we will empower the local church, we'll work through the local church, means that after 3-4 months, all those organizations, Save the Children, Red Cross, all of them, they will be gone to the next emergency situation, but the church will stay there. So we are so thankful. Romania, Moldavia, Hungary, Poland, Lithuania, all those places, they are just ready to serve their people. It's amazing.
Well, that's a great report. It makes me wonder about other segments of the church. Are you seeing the state churches, and there are in many of the countries, or the Roman Catholics? What about the evangelicals from the United States? You know, the ones that run on kind of parallel train tracks in America. Are you seeing them over there, or is this just something that you're not aware of?
We are seeing them. I think today everyone is doing their best in that way. Well, we have been focusing towards our own churches to see it, because the catastrophe is so huge, you know. So in that way, we have no time to involve and to understand what's going on in the other churches. But since I'm quite acquainted with the whole Christian community, I know that everyone is doing what they can do. But of course, there are churches who are not doing. You know, there is something, you know, in those countries where you are quite, it's like a identity tag, which church or religion you belong to. For example, if you are Polish, you're Catholic. If you're Serb, you're Orthodox. If you're Ukrainian, you're Orthodox. So in that way, you know, I feel, you know, that the evangelical church is not that branded, it's not tagged to some kind, means that they are a little bit more open, a little bit more free, I understand, you know, to be opening their arms to everyone. So I believe that evangelical churches, they have an open door if they understand, you know. Of course, there are churches who are not doing anything. But the good thing is that we are involved with the one doing something. So that's why we are talking about them. The rest of them, they are probably still doing the church services Sunday morning, keeping the chairs there. And probably there are refugees walking by the door every day. Probably it's like that, you know. But we don't visit them. We visit the ones who's doing something. So that's why we have those stories. But there are so many good stories. I today talked with people from Romania, saying, you know, what they were doing, you know, they are just leaving everything aside and they just work with this. It's fantastic. And it's fantastic to do this and to feel that. Today, when we went to one warehouse to see, you know, what they were doing, there is people that we have never met before. You know, they're just strangers to us. But when we are coming there, you know, it's like we are family. Yeah. We are going there hugging each other, pushing each other, making jokes, having fun. Day one, minute one, this is the kingdom of God for me. You know, there is no preparation. We are just on the spot in one time, working together, standing together. This is great.
You know, we always quote, you know, Jesus said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Like, that's future tense. Mm. What is future tense? But he has already been building his church.
Right.
And we're seeing the gates of hell cannot prevail.
No. One interesting thing maybe is the relation between Ukraine and Russia. We were mentioning that before, you know. The situation is like that many of the churches in Russia are led by Ukrainian pastors. Mm-hmm. The Ukrainian movement, the Pentecostal movement, first of all, have been very strong, very pioneering, planting churches everywhere, especially in Russia. So today, there are, you know, there are, I could say there are tensions, but it's not tensions. I believe, my understanding is that the Ukrainian churches, they are praying for the Russian people, which they are feeling is under oppression. My understanding is that Russian churches are praying for the Ukrainian people. My understanding is that even if nationalism is reflected, my feeling is that still the kingdom of God is stronger than national state. That's my understanding, that it still works, you know, that people are understanding and there are aggressions and there are many things, but still there is a kind of, yes, of kingdom mind, yes, where people understand that we are not fighting against flesh and blood. This is something else, you know, this is demonic powers pushing these evil things.
It reminds me of when I flew over Ireland and I saw these stone walls that separated neighbor from neighbor. And then it was about 6 to 8 months later, I flew over the same area and I couldn't see the walls. And I asked the person next to me, where are the walls? And he said, well, you can't see them because the harvest is high. And that's what we're seeing here. People are focused on the harvest.
Yes.
They're focused on the need, not the walls that separate us. And where the Spirit of the Lord is, there's unity. Yep. And where there's unity, the Spirit of the Lord shows up. And I believe that what God's doing is that he's breaking our hearts for what breaks his heart. And there needs to be heart surgery, a new level of empathy. When you see these people, and I would encourage you to go to our website, cityserve.us. I know Charisma is also producing some great stories. You're going to see some interviews that we took last night that are going to rock your world. It's going to mess you up. And incredible. You're going to say, man, that could be my daughter. That could be my granddaughter, my niece. Yeah. And these children that are traumatized, that could be my child, my grandchild. And so I believe that's this empathy,
yeah,
that the church of Jesus, you know, that it is rising up to meet these needs, move with compassion and seeing people accept Jesus most of all. And heaven's being populated through this tragedy.
Boy, that's so well said. And this podcast needs to be short. There's so much we could go into, and we will be reporting it in the future. We will report, with your permission, some of the stories that you just referred to. And we haven't heard yet from Todd. And as we wrap this up, Todd, I want to give you the last word, because your church stepped up to the plate. Now, I know that you have a long relationship of working with CityServe and Dave, so you were kind of ready for it. But what about other pastors who are listening to this or watching it, and they say, what can we do? What advice would you have for churches, but also individuals? You know, there's probably some high-income people that want to give, and a lot of times they don't really know where to give. You know, they think that it's just going to buy luxuries for the executives in the ministry, you know, and won't actually get to the need. So would you speak to that as we wrap up this podcast?
I would say this, everyone do something, whatever they can. Prayer, it should never be underestimated, the power of prayer. But prayer that is positive and powerful will always lead to action. And so cityserve.us, I would go there. Quite frankly, that is a trusted source. It's one that we have committed ourselves to connect with and to partner with. But everyone giving something, a prayer that is meaningful will always move to action. And for pastors, what I would say is there are resources out there for you to connect with the people of Ukraine. Open up your eyes, do a little bit of study, open up your heart, and you'll be able to find needs that you can meet. They're all around you. Ukrainian people are all around you in your neighborhoods, your communities. And so, and if after doing that, you can't find anyone, go to cityserve.us and they will direct you to the next steps, but trusted source.
Well, thank you for sharing this. I just think it's so interesting. I know my viewers and listeners will as well. And we'll be in touch. course, in the future. And I'll thank my listeners for tuning in and share this with others. We want people to find this out. People will be listening to this long after March 9th. But this is live. I mean, who would have thought? I've been to the Ukraine and Russia several times. It was back in the 90s. We did not have this kind of technology back then. I can promise you that. We could barely get a telephone call through. But that's a discussion for another day. But I'll thank you again and encourage people to tune in. Look for the other podcast on the Ukraine that we've done. And like Todd says, research it. You know, you can type in Ukraine Christians, Ukraine humanitarianism, and all kinds of things will pop up. Become informed and tune in again tomorrow for another episode of the Strang Report on the Charisma Podcast Network. God bless you.
Thank you for listening to the Strang Report with Stephen Strang. Stay up to date with the latest episodes by subscribing on your favorite podcast app and at cpnshows.com. Get the latest reports delivered directly to your inbox by subscribing at strangreport.com.